tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. And welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth. I thank you very much for returning. Before we begin today talking about non-sugar sweeteners, I want to give you a couple of reminders. If you post a review either on Kate's Apothecary, an introductory guide to aromatherapy, or Confessions of an Obese Child, my personal blog podcast about what it was like to grow up overweight and some of its lasting ramifications, or an MP radio, you are put into a lottery to get an essential oil blend. So at the end of the month, we will pull the next one. So please post a review. It just take 1 minute and that's all it would take. So we would really appreciate if you would do that. Also, please go listen to Kate's Apothecary. She just released her frankincense and she'll be releasing her next episode on Mindfulness Monday pretty soon. So we are very excited about that. And I was joking because I was listening to her frankincense and I was like, my intro has the naturopathic essentials introduction. I was like, welcome to Naturopathic Essentials. We need to change that to Kate's Apothecary. So we need to get on that. We need to get on that. Tomorrow is Columbus Day. We used to celebrate Columbus, right? When I was a kid, he brought Western Civ to North America. He was a great man. The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, and whatnot. Now, of course, he's a genocidal killer who brought disease and rape and to the Western Hemisphere, to the noble savage as they respun everything, right? Because the Western Hemisphere was perfect and halcyon and ideal until the Western white man came and destroyed it and brought disease and all the bad things. I still like Columbus. I mean, I like to think that America, the North American continent, is better because of him ushering in Western Civ. Now, of course, the Vikings were here before us, and probably there were some Celtic expeditions that got over here before us, and maybe even some Portuguese ones, but his was the one that began the Age of Exploration, of course, the lasting effect of Western civilization on this continent. I think the continent's better for it. Now that we've had our History of Revisionist 101, let's talk about sugar. He brings me sugar. That's an old Tori Amos song. Look, sugar kills. We know that maybe this is hyperbole, but probably not. A diet high in sugar is linked to a myriad of health maladies. I like using maladies in my blogs, maladies. But you know, most notably obesity and type 2 diabetes and the metabolic syndromes of hypertension, high cholesterol, fatty liver disease, among other things. It increases your chances of getting cancer and also fuels tumor growth. That's why the opposite of doing a keto diet or ketogenic diet or high-fat diet actually stymies tumor growth, at least in rats, at least in rats. So that's good. But the whole notion that sugar is the big boogeyman is not new. We've known this for at least half a century, and we all know that it's bad to our health. Then why is sugar consumption increasing? Why? I mean, on average, the typical American consumes about 130 pounds of added sugar every year, which is about 7 times more than it was a century ago. Now, I mean, were they really measuring it back in 1917, right? I mean, at the end of World War I? Probably at that point they still were. So we're eating a lot more sugar. And this is not good because unlike, let's say, something that's kind of not good, like flour, right? I mean, there are benefits to flour, refined flour from wheat. But sugar, cane sugar, for example, has no nutrition and it's empty calories, just like sodas, right? Sodas are just essentially coca cancers that offer absolutely no nutrition at all. But we are eating seven to eight times higher sugar than we were a century ago. Why is this? Well, I mean, the obvious things are going to be the proliferation of all the processed foods. So all the beverages, the teas and the Cokes, all the candies and the cookies and the pastries. That's obvious. But then there's less obvious sources, like condiments, for example. You know, that is a hidden source of sugar. And if you want to refer to other ones, check out my episode on sugar-laden superfoods. I'm very dyslexic today. Sugar-laden superfoods to find out about a lot of superfoods that actually have a lot of sugar. And it pretty much goes down to this. Big food is intentionally putting crap in our food. We know this. And they intentionally put more sugar because it's addictive to the brain. It releases dopamine when we eat it, and we can't stop eating it. So, of course, it makes sense. I mean, look at a three-year-old, right? You give a three-year-old a soda, they're going to love that soda. So it makes sense from big food's point of view to put as much sugar as possible in all the different foods. But today we're going to talk about sugar. We all like the taste of it, even though we don't like its effect on the body. But that being said, avoiding sugar is almost impossible. So I wanted to do a review on non-sugar, cane sugar alternatives. And we've done reviews in the past. We did one for the milks, the non-dairy milks. We did one on dark chocolates. We've done one on Greek yogurts. But that was a blog. That was an article. That was not a podcast. I also have one on condiments. And I have one on hummus that's coming out pretty soon. And I know I'm forgetting another one. But check them out. So today's episode, we're going to glean off my article, my review that I wrote back in July. So we're going to start with the absolute worst sweeteners to the best. And when we talk about the best, it's like the ugliest, the best looking ugly person, right? And so, I mean, not to be insensitive, but that's what you mean. So even the best sweeteners are still pretty bad, but in the gamut of sweetness, there's some worse than others. All right. So the absolute worst, here we go. Let's do it. Number one, artificial sweeteners. Artificial sweeteners. We've talked about artificial sweeteners quite a lot. And I've written about two or three articles on the history of aspartame. I think it's fascinating, but we're really not going to talk about its history right here. It's very sordid, probably more sordid than the history of how fluoride got in our water. But what do we do? What do we know about artificial sweeteners? Okay, so the most popular ones are aspartame, which is sold as NutraSweet or Equal, sucralose, which is sold as Splenda, because it's splendid, saccharin, which is sweet and low, and then the newer one is acesulfam from potassium, which you see in a lot of sodas. They're very popular, of course, because they're zero calories, and just as important, guys, is that they are something like 10 times sweeter than regular cane sugar, depending on which one you're doing. So aspartame was 10 times sweeter, and then Splenda was 5 times sweeter than aspartame, and acesulfam from potassium is even sweeter. So, of course, the body's like, yummy, time to drink that soda. The problem is this. Look, there was a professor, what was a scientist? Olney. I think Olney was the name of the guy. So when aspartame came out, it's been around probably since the 50s. They were looking for a cure for, if I'm not mistaken, ulcers. And they came about aspartame, and they did a bunch of studies on it early on rats. And they noticed that in rats, it created leukemia, lymphoma, brain tumors, and infertility, among other things. And it was banned for a long time until the 80s when President Reagan came into office. And he fired the FDA chief that was against it and put in a new FDA head who was for it. And he got it approved for mass use. The funny thing is that the company that had created aspartame, Cerl, at the time, the CEO for that company in 1980 was Donald Rumsfeld, the future Secretary of Defense under Baby Bush. So it's a sordid thing. But what do we know? We know that artificial sweeteners are suspect at best. Many countries have banned them. A couple states have tried to ban them, including New Mexico, because there is a link. Now, correlation or causation, we don't know. But typically, there's people who have shown that there's a link between aspartame and other artificial sweeteners with higher rate of migraines, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, autoimmune problems like multiple sclerosis, diabetes, tumors, as we already mentioned, in the brain. There's issues with it, not to mention it disrupts your microbiome. It doesn't shut off the feedback loop of you feeling full with sweets. So there's a lot of studies like that. The most overweight people typically tend to have a high consumption of diet sodas. And one of the issues is it doesn't shut off that feedback. So if you eat a lot of cake, for example, eventually your body's like, whoa, this is way too much sweet. And then your sweet tooth or your sweet hunger gets turned off. But with aspartame, when you have it, since it's not a real thing, it's fake. Not to mention it has a higher rate of you getting kidney stones. You keep ingesting it and it doesn't turn it off. So you still feel like you need something sweet even after the aspartame. And so you tend to eat more of it. So get off of it. It is toxic. It's not natural in any way, shape, or form. You got to look on the labels because it's on loads of processed foods, especially Splenda. You got to look for sucralose. It's in tons of energy bars because energy bar will be like 24 grams of protein, 2 grams of sugar. Like, great. Cliff bars. And you look on the back, of course, it's got sucralose. So look out for yogurts, cereals, energy bars, Sunny D. They, a lot of them, of course, the diet sodas, and then diet Jell-O, diet pudding. So overall, I give it a grade F fail. All right, number two, high fructose corn syrup, HFCS. High fructose corn syrup. Yeah, this is in all the sodas. They took out sugar. Oh, probably about 15 years ago. Now, you can still find some sodas that have it, like Mexican Coke and Jarritos and then the higher-end sodas. But as a whole, the typical Sprite, the typical root beer, the typical Pepsi, Coca-Cola, it's going to have high fructose corn syrup as its sweetener. And it's not good. It's not good. And one of the reasons they put it in there is because it's cheaper than sugar. It's hard to believe, but it's cheaper than sugar. And that's mostly because it's a byproduct, a highly, highly processed and refined byproduct of corn. Corn is subsidized in America, and so they need to find a cheap way to unload this crap. And so they put it into a lot of foods. So it's, of course, it's in all sodas, but it's also in most of the processed sweet stuff. So cookies, cake, pastry, cereals, all of them. So what they do is they get it from the corn and then they refine it and process until it's like a super sweetened goo. And then when it's in your body, it's rapidly absorbed. It causes that rapid sugar spike, which then, of course, all of these, to be fair, any type of sugar, aside from the artificial ones, when you eat it, it causes a sugar spike, and then the pancreas, the islets of Langerhans, they're like, oh, damn, let's release some insulin. So it releases insulin to try to bring the blood sugar down, and sometimes it works. Well, now, when it doesn't work, that's typically a sign of diabetes. But even if it does work, you have all this insulin in the body, and then boom, that puts the body in a state of inflammation. It also puts the body into a state of fat storage. So aside from that, and that happens with a lot of sugars, sweeteners, even syrup, which we'll talk about later, the problem with high fructose corn syrup is that it's a known obesogen. It makes you fat. It destroys your liver. It causes major problems with your gut microbiome. It raises your chances of getting cancer and hypertension, high cholesterol. It is crap. Not to mention, to put the proverbial cherry on top, there's been traces of mercury found in high fructose corn syrup. So avoid it again at all costs. Grade D minus. All right, let's go to number trois here. Number three, we're going to go to the so-so sweeteners. Let's start with Turbinado. I like these almonds that have turbinado salt. No, it's sea salt with turbinado sweetening and then dark chocolate. And of course, an almond in the middle is so good. It's got that perfect texture. But turbinado is a minimally processed raw cane sugar. It does have less calories than regular sugar, but it loses a lot of the phytonutrients during the processing. So even though it is arguably better than white sugar, or refined sugar from cane sugar, even sugar beets, it's not the best because, as you notice, as we go down the scale, you're going to see a higher rate of phytonutrients or polyphenols or benefits that are coming from the sweetener. Turbinado has very little. So I would give it a D. So stay away from turbinado if you can. Okay, number four is going to be brown rice syrup. brown rice syrup is getting popular. It's increased the popularity in about 10 years. And it's made from adding certain enzymes, typically barley, to brown rice. And then during the processing, a syrup's produced, which the body can absorb very quickly. Here's the deal. Brown rice has two main issues. One is that it has high levels of arsenic that have been found in it. Second, barley has gluten. And we've talked about issues with gluten sensitivity going way back to the elimination diet episode we did probably in MP3 or 4. And it causes leaky gut syndrome and problems with your microbiome, among other things. So try to stay away from it as you can. Stay away from it. There's just better choices out there. There's better choices out there. So for that one, we give it a C-. Okay, number 5 is fruit juice. Stay away from commercially sold orange, apple, grape juice, and certainly Sunny Delight. Certainly, I would love to, guys, take a picture of the ingredient list of Sunny Delight. Now, no question, it's very tasty and highly addictive, but ooh, it's got like corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, sucralose, food dyes. I mean, it's not even like orange juice, and the sad thing is it's like it's sold like it's orange juice, but it's horrible for you. It is absolutely horrible. So fruit juices as a whole, you should avoid. Go back to our episode on juicing versus smoothing, which is probably like episode 10 or 11. Check that one out. But as a whole, the sugar that you're getting from fruit, though sometimes it is nutrient dense, the large majority of the commercially sold fruit juices can just spike your blood sugar and then they spike your insulin. If you are going to juice, do the home fruit juices with your juicer and try to choose the right proper vegetables with the celery and cucumber, and then maybe do a beet, maybe an apple, some carrots, some ginger, some lemon. And that'll be great because those are very nutrient dense because they're coming from the right vegetables, and you get a great shot of vital micronutrients and antioxidants. And even though it will be absorbed by the body because you're juicing vegetables, there's not nearly as much sugar. And so you're getting a lot of the energy, but minimal of the sugar. But if you're just drinking orange juice, even with the pulp, guys, even with the pulp, even if it's all natural, again, it's just loads of sugar, and you might as well, it's almost as bad as just using regular cane sugar. So as a whole, just eat the fruit instead or smoothie it to get the fiber, but don't drink juices at all. And for that, I give a C-. All right, number 6, we got agave nectar. Agave nectar is so popular now, right? It is so popular. And the proponents for agave nectar or agave will say that it's so great because it's relatively low in the glycemic index, and that's the measurement of how fast carbs will elevate your blood sugar. And the other reason why they say it's great is because it boasts a lot of phytonutrients or plant nutrients and several minerals. That is true. I mean, I think both of those are true. Now, its opponents will say that it's more calorically dense and sweeter than sugar, and the science behind its low glycemic index is a little spurious. So it is natural, and it's not refined, which are pluses. But its sweetness and its caloric density make it an average non-sugar sweetener. There's better options out there. There's certainly worse, but as a whole, I'd give it an average grade of a C. Agave nectar, a C. All right, number 7, molasses. I tell my daughter, it's like, you're moving as slow as 18th century molasses. She's like, what's that, daddy? It's like, oh, well, that's a really nerdy history reference going on right there. Remember the, what was it called? That the iron triangle. What was the triangle that we used to do in the colonial times? We would ship molasses to England. England would ship crappy export knickknacks to us. And then some of them, the molasses would go to West Africa, and West Africa would ship the slaves to us. Triangle, what was it called? Oh, I don't remember. Anyways, molasses. Molasses is made from boiling down raw sugar to remove the sucrose. Blackstrap molasses is the best since it boils it down 3 times. So it's nutrient dense, which is great. It's loaded with antioxidants, polyphenols, vitamins, and minerals. So it's great. It's great in that regard. The problem, or if there is a problem with it, it's just there's better sources out there. One of the issues is, and we really shouldn't call this a non-sugar review, because just like turbinado, molasses actually comes from sugar cane or sugar beets. They're just refining it. In this case, they're taking out the sucrose. But there's just better non-sugar sweeteners out there that boast more phytonutrients that hail from cane sugar. So again, you could do worse, like agave nectar, but you could do better. And so let's talk about some of the better ones. So as a whole grade, average. Give it a C. All right, number eight. This is going to be the last one of what we would call the naturals. These are the sugar alcohols. The sugar alcohols include sorbitol, mannitol, and xylitol, which is my daughter's favorite thing now. So we get chewing gum. I'm not a big proponent of chewing gum because most of it's sugar, but I told my four-year-old daughter that when we went to a store that has it, it wasn't Whole Paycheck, it's another one called Sprouts. I was like, we're going to get some xylitol gum. I go, what's xylitol? She's my one kid who like asks, what is blah, blah, blah? Anytime like I use a big word, what's independent mean? Or what does resilient mean? And so I explained it to her. And I like the fact that she asks these questions. So I said, we're going to get xylitol gum. What is xylitol? And I said, xylitol is a sugar alcohol gum. And it actually has studies showing that unlike all the other gums which destroy your teeth, xylitol is actually good for your mouth. So she's like, yay. So every time now she's like, where's the xylitol gum, Daddy? I want xylitol gum. So now she's turning into Violet Beauregard from freaking Willy Wonka because I can't say no to her because I give her gum pretty much after every meal to stimulate saliva. So it doesn't help rot her teeth. But now she's like chewing gum all the time. She's like, Violet, you're turning Violet. Anyways, sorbitol, mannitol, and xylitol, these are byproducts of chemically extracting the carbs of our fruit. They're marketed as a zero-calorie sweetener for diabetics, but they do, in fact, have a little sugar, 3 calories per gram, and it does raise the blood sugar, albeit not as much as regular sugar. Along with stevia, the other one we're going to talk about at the end, sugar alcohols are a decent option. In fact, xylitol, as I just mentioned, is really great for oral health. If you want more information on that, I do have an article about chewing gum, if you want to check that out. Just know that if you have too much of these sugar alcohols, sorbitol, mannitol, erythritol, xylitol, they can have a laxative effect on the body, so you might be pooping up a lot, and they can flare up some intestinal maladies if you eat too much. And the reason for this is that the intestines can't completely absorb them, leading to them being fermented in the large intestines, and sometimes you get bloated. Also, diabetics and others tend to overindulge in foods with sugar alcohol since they don't believe the alcohol can affect their blood sugar. So you can find dark chocolate or chocolate that is sweetened with sugar alcohols. My friend Ashley showed me one. And again, unless you're diabetic, and even if you are diabetic, I would just stick to 90% dark chocolate because it only has about 3 grams of sugar if you get a good one. So I would stick to those. So my takeaway is if it's xylitol sweetened gum, go for it. With the other ones, just minimal. So I give it a C. All right, so let's go to the naturals. The following four are just natural sweeteners that are not coming from the sugar, the cane sugar, and they're all great. All right, so let's go with coconut sugar. Coconut sugar, this is actually refined from the blossoms of the coconut tree. And coconut sugar, in particular in the paleo world, has gained a lot of popularity. This is not surprising given that pretty much anything extracted from the coconut nowadays is seen as gold, right? Coconut feces. Oh, we need to eat coconut feces. This is great. And look, don't get me wrong. Coconut sugar is great. It's loaded with zinc, potassium, inulin, which is a great fiber, and short-chain fatty acids. It's great. It's really good for your health, but the taste of it doesn't appeal to everybody. And it is slightly refined. So compared to some of the ones that are upcoming, which are not refined at all, it's still above average. So I would give it a B. Try it out. If you like the taste, that's great. Then give it a shot. But I would give it a B. It's definitely good. All right. The next one is going to be, this is number nine. Number nine is going to be maple syrup. All right. So we generally think maple syrup. Oh my God, Aunt Jemima. Oh, Mrs. Butterworth. Oh my God, that was horrible. Yeah, those are absolutely garbage because they're not real maple syrup. They are just corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup. And I love the back. And I mentioned in, I think, a previous podcast where it says you can put the Aunt Jemima, you can put the Aunt Jemima in the microwave to warm it up. And I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. All right. So maple syrup. It's natural. Of course, it comes from the trees, which are apparently all in Vermont. And you can't get more natural, really, than tapping a tree and sucking out all of its goodness. Maple syrup, if you buy the right one, is not refined at all. Therefore, it keeps much of its phytonutrients, polyphenols, and antioxidants. All these things fight against cancer and promote heart health. And it has crucial minerals as well. Like, it's great. It will spike your blood sugar and insulin, but at least you're getting some micronutrient value from it. Ideally, go pure organic maple sugar. The maple syrup, the darker the color, the better. And of course, you know, stay away from Aunt Jemima and Mrs. Butterworth, which are imposter sugars, and they're just horrible. But pure maple syrup is good. It costs a lot, don't get me wrong, but in the long run, it's infinitely better than using anything that comes from refined sugar. So grade, we give it a B. Number 11, we got honey. Honey, honey, oh, you thrill me. Honey, honey. That was Abba's first. No, Ring Ring was Abba's first song, but Honey, Honey was an early song from them. Oh, you thrill me, honey. Anyway, honey. Yeah, maybe Winnie the Pooh was onto something, right? Or maybe the bees. Oh, but don't oppress the bees. I always joke with the students how vegans don't use any honey because, you know, we're oppressing the bees and they're not getting their fair trade wages or whatever. But it is kind of funny, even for you vegans. You got to admit, I mean, come on, how can we be oppressing bees? That's what they naturally make. And same for like wearing wool. You know, sheep want to be sheared. They like it. It makes them feel good. All right, so along with maple syrup, honey is a great sugar alternative. It's chock full of micronutrients, polyphenols, and antioxidants, and it's all natural goodness. With honey, just make sure you're getting organic, non-pasteurized, unfiltered honey. The majority of honeys that you buy at your conventional grocery stores are not organic, non-pasteurized, and unfiltered. If it's unfiltered, if it's filtered, it's refined. If it's non-pasteurized, lots of times they'll heat it all up and then get rid of all the probiotic benefits of it, the fermented part of it. And honey is a great prebiotic item. It's just great. And I mean, you don't have to use a lot of it, but it's great to have. And it's also great for a lot of home natural remedies, such as a sore throat. So we give it a B+, a little more than the maple syrup and the coconut sugar. So B+. All right, number 12. We are going with the dates. Now, the dates, if you ever go into like a Middle Eastern grocery store, or in the Disney movie Aladdin, I think actually Aladdin is stealing the date at the beginning when the merchant chases him. You've seen this great handy fruit. The beauty of dates is that they can be eaten fresh, dried, or pureed. And what separates dates from all the other non-sugar sweeteners is that it's the actual fruit. It's the actual fruit. Whereas all these are either refined from sugar or they're just a liquid with pretty much no fiber coming out of a natural source, so like the coconut sugar and the maple syrup. But dates, they're versatile, right? You can eat them in many different ways. They're loaded with phytonutrients. But best of all, you are actually getting fiber, something that you're not getting from the rest of them. They're a great prebiotic source. And of course, they're probably famous for helping with constipation. Think of date juice. Don't drink date juice on a date, right? So date the dates, though. Put in smoothies. Great natural way to sweeten up smoothies or acai bowls. Put them in desserts or any recipe you like. It's arguably the best of the non-sugar sweeteners. So number 12 here is the dates. Give it a A. Just stick to the fruit and not the date juice. Give it an A. Ding, 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 ding. The winner. All right, the last one, and this is number 14, is going to be stevia. Stevia is lauded as the second coming of Jesus Christ, right? Stevia, lay soda, stevia, put stevia in your coffee, put stevia in your tea. It is great. It's great. Oh my God. Is it too good to be true? Yeah, it is too good to be true. All right, look, so some of the things here. It is a zero-calorie sweetener, which is great, similar artificial sweeteners, but it is quote-unquote all natural. It comes from a plant that's indigenous to South America. But the history of stevia approval is checkered. It is checkered at best. Stevia was actually banned up until the 1990s in both the U.S. and the European Union. Because at that time, pressure was placed on some watchdog agencies to keep it out. And then later on, there was pressure by certain lobbyists to reconsider their stance. So by the early 2000s, stevia was reapproved, and now it's a grass. It's generally regarded as safe. But here's the issue. Stevia is refined. And this is something that you don't hear about. We always hear, oh, all natural stevia, put stevia, with stevia in the raw and all these things. Most products that are stevia or quote unquote stevia are actually just stevia extracted. And then they put in some additives. So the large majority of stevia products are refined, processed, and bleached and added with chemicals. Sold by Pepsi and the agribusiness giant Cargill, Truvia and Purevia are probably the most well-known brands. And they've extracted the stevia extract from the plant to create a Franken-sweetener called Rhodiocyte A. So if you look at the back of most of these, like the well-known stevia packages and so forth, they're going to have Rhodiocyte A in the back. And most studies with dealing with Rhodiocyte A range from inconclusive to detrimental to your health due to the fact that it's highly refined. So if you're going to use stevia, opt for a pure organic stevia. So for that grade, we give it an A. Now, if you've talked to anybody who's actually eaten pure organic stevia, they'll tell you it's disgusting or it has a very dull taste because it hasn't been refined. It's kind of similar to peanut butter. If you ever go to the large grocery stores that actually have the peanuts in the kind of like the funnel and you turn it on, it actually crunches and pulls out peanut butter and you eat it, you're like, this stuff's disgusting. Why? Because we're so used to the refined peanut butter that we get from Jif with all the sugar. So I would give it an A if it's pure organic stevia. But I'd give it a C minus for the Truvia and the Purevia, all the ones with Rhodiocyte A. So it's not the best. All right, so we are done with our review of non-sugar sweeteners, even though molasses was in there and turbinado, which come from the cane sugar. But as a whole, here's the deal, guys. The best sugars, the best rule of thumb are going to be those that are not processed at all. So this would be honey, dates, molasses, maple syrup, coconut sugar, since they all retain the original phytonutrients, as well as organic stevia. Those are the ones you really want to opt for. But even so, a couple of tablespoons a day is the max, since they do spike your blood sugar and initiate the inflammatory effects of insulin. But they are better than the traditional cane sugar, the sugar beets, the high fructose corn syrup, and most definitely the artificial sweeteners. They need to all be avoided as best as humanly possible to achieve optimal health. And look, last thing I want to mention is cinnamon. Cinnamon is great. We need to put it on every food. It is a natural, phenomenal sweetener that doesn't spike the blood sugar. Sprinkle that puppy on everything. It is great. Studies show it's great for regulating your blood sugar levels. It combats hypertension. And it's a natural antimicrobial. It fights against bacteria. You can actually apply it along with honey, for example, onto wounds. So use cinnamon. Now, adhering to a paleo lifestyle largely avoids all the culprits mentioned above because most of these sweeteners you wouldn't find. I mean, you would find in its natural state, but even someone that adheres to a paleo or primal diet would recommend that to really limit all these. But if they were going to eat it, they'd probably eat the the maple syrup or the honey. But that being said, even the government is saying that we should only get about 10% of our total calories from sugar. Well, on a 2,000 calorie diet, which is the typical the calories that a woman should be eating, 2,000 calories, that only comes out to about 50 grams of sugar a day, including sugars that are derived from fruits and vegetables and pizza and pasta and everything. So it's extremely difficult to stay under that threshold unless you're doing like a keto diet or just a very low sugar diet. That being said, we don't want you to stay away from low glycemic, high nutrient dense fruits such as berries or cherries. Those are really good for your health. Ideally, get those organic, because if you know the Dirty Dozen from the Environmental Working Group, most berries and cherries are pretty dirty and they need to be bought organic. I think the more realistic endeavor is just eliminate all the added sugars, all the Franken foods, all the processed foods, and just stick to an all-natural diet. And then purge all beverages that aren't water, coffee, and tea, maybe some milk. And then with your food, just stick to meats, nuts, seeds, and loads of produce. Remember the old mantra of our website, one of the two big mantras: if God didn't make it, don't eat it. So that's all I have for you today, guys. Please post a review if you can. Check out some of the articles that Kay and I wrote. Definitely check out her podcast episodes on mindfulness and on aromatherapy. And until next time, guys, just spread the word and take care. Bye-bye.
Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at naturopathicearth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of